All right, welcome community group leaders back to the Deeper Podcast, where we help you confidently lead your groups. My name is Jeremy Nguyen, and I'm the host of the Deeper Podcast, and we're here again with Joe Hishma.
Welcome. Hello, everyone. It's great to be with you.
All right. I think we're in week six of Safe and Sound. Is that right?
We are. We are.
6 weeks. Pretty amazing.
I know.
And so, Joe, what is the big idea and passage for this week?
Big idea is abiding is the defense of deception. And we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 18 all the way through verse 27. And so what do you want to know about it?
Well, we'll get there in a second. There's okay. Quite a bit to dive into.
I know, there's a ton.
But before we get to the passage, we're going to do just a little time of growing together. And over the next couple weeks, or several weeks, I guess, we're going to be going through some of what does it look like to be a leader at Fellowship. And there's this thing called developing leaders that community group leaders are going to hear more about in some of our future all-group leader trainings. But the first part of that is who we are is more important than what we do.
Yes.
And the key passage for that comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. And that's where it's the great commandment passage. And so the lawyer, you know, asks this question and ultimately comes down to, you know, we're called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So Joe, as the elders think about leaders at Fellowship, what does it mean that who we are is more important than what we do?
So we call that our 80-20 principle,
yeah.
And that is that 80% of a leader is who they are. It's their character, and it's their track record. It's their wake in the lives of people. It's how they do relationships. It's how they love one another. And if we aren't doing that, it really doesn't matter what we do. I mean, even Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 13, that if you do all these things from speaking to doing, you're nothing more than just kind of rattling metal. You know, you're a clanging
cymbal. A noisy gong or clanging cymbal,
that's right,
yeah.
That's right. And so when we look at it here, really, we believe everyone's a minister. Everywhere is a ministry opportunity. And because of that, you can serve anywhere, and it's a sacrifice that's pleasing to the Lord. You don't have to be in my role to be the most important person here. You don't have to do what I do to do the most significant thing here. We believe it really is people who are led by the Spirit of God, with the people of God, by the Word of God, and you can serve anywhere, and it's significant, and it's valuable, and we just think that's so important. So important.
Yeah, absolutely. And along with that is the fact that, you know, we can do all the right things, but if we aren't doing it because of Christ and His love
That's
for
right.
us, then we'll totally miss it. So I know This is kind of just a little preview, because we're going to definitely do more in-depth training. I mean, we have a couple hours of training that actually through our developing leaders that we have. But for now, what we want you to hear is this. Who you are is more important than what you do. And so practically, when you're with your community groups, remember that as you're facilitating, it starts with your relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. and it flows from there. And so don't be so concerned about having the right answers and doing all the right things. But man, listen to the Holy Spirit, and what are the conversations you're supposed to have in your group? What are the words of encouragement you're supposed to share to one another? What are the things maybe you need to confess? So just continue to remember that as you lead your community groups.
That's right.
All right. So now let's jump into the passage. Joe, can you read it? I know it's 9 verses.
I would love to. Hang on with me. Here it is. It's 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 18 and going all the way through 27. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all the knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. So I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointed teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him.
All right, excellent. Okay, so community group leaders, I know there's 9 verses there, but here's the verse I want us to start with is verse 26, because John has 10 different purpose statements throughout the book of 1 John, and this is one of them, and this is going to be the purpose statement for this chunk of verses right here. And so verse 26, it says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. And so that's going to be a lot about what this passage is talking about is deception, and what is that defense that we have against deception? All right, so that's going to be the focus, but there's a couple of things at the beginning of the passage that I don't know about you, but you might have questions about, or it could even actually lead to some bunny trails. So we're going to address it here so that you're able to talk about it with your groups, but then don't forget to get back to that key thing that we're going to get back to, which is about deception and how we can have a defense against that. Okay, so the first thing is the last hour. So, okay. Joe, I know you talk about this in your sermon and explain some of that, but basically it's from Jesus' resurrection through his return.
That's right.
And so tell us a little bit more about that. And even what were what was John's perspective like when he was speaking at the last hour?
Okay. So I believe that the writing of 1 John was before he received the vision of things to come in the book of Revelation. So he didn't know as much as he was about to find out. But think again about John. I mean, the dude heard and saw and touched the living Christ. And then he saw a vision of the future. I don't know of a disciple who received more from God about his own revelation about himself than John. And so he's basically gonna talk to us about, look, we're at the final days. It's the final hour. These are the last days. And so we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the Lord's return. We need to be prepared. We don't need to be messing around with deception, but we need to call a fake a fake. And we need to proclaim the truth, the truth, and move forward and advance that gospel to the ends of the earth.
Okay, and within this, the last hour, there is only one entity, one being that knows that hour.
That's right.
And it's God the Father. So I'll read that in Matthew 24, verse 36.
Yep.
It says this, but concerning that day, so the last day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So I think it's amazing to think about how God the Father is the only one that knows, and that includes Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, so just real quick, how is it that Jesus can be fully God, but yet not know something? He doesn't know the hour of when it's returning.
Okay. Answer, I don't know. But here's the deal. We know that the triune God is equal in persons. They're unique in person, but they're equal in substance. Mm-hmm. And so there is something that the Son submits to the Father and the Spirit submits to the Son. And whenever you submit to the leadership. And there were times where Jesus on earth submitted to the Father's leading. The Spirit then led him out into the wilderness. Remember that?
Yep.
To fast and then ultimately be tempted. And you have this picture of Christ obeying and submitting and following so that we would follow in his footsteps. So
I think it's amazing how Jesus is God, and but at the same time, he submits to the Father.
That's
he
right.
submitted in coming to earth and taking on humanity. He didn't become less God.
Yes.
He added humanity to himself and mm-hmm. bore everything that we bore, and in this case, submits to saying, all right, God, I trust you. You're the one that knows
yes.
this. I'm okay not knowing this. But another thing that's really interesting is Satan doesn't know when the end is coming either.
No.
You know, Satan, he can only be in one place at one time.
That's right.
He doesn't know either. And that'll That's play right. in a little bit into the Antichrist.
Yep.
Okay, so we have the last days or the last hour. And, you know, at this time, the believers, they were probably expecting Jesus to be coming back, maybe even within their lifetime.
Yes.
And we're 2,000 years later, and that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So how should us as believers, as the church, what should our response be to this? So should it be kind of an anticipation or just living in imminence, or should it be in preoccupation of looking for those signs, looking for, okay, I see how some of this stuff is matching up, or maybe fear or the uncertainty? Like, what's a biblical response to that?
Yeah, I think a biblical response is to understand our role right now, and the role hasn't changed.
Yeah.
First century church, I actually believed all the disciples of Jesus thought he was going to come back. And when he did come back and presented himself to them, they thought that's when the kingdom was going to happen. See, in Acts chapter 1, mm-hmm. they asked him, is now the time the kingdom's going to be restored to Israel? When is that going to happen? He goes, it's not for you to know the times, okay, but you will be my witnesses. And so that whole flip there of they were preoccupied with their role yeah. in future events. And when that's going to happen, he said, you know, that's up to the Father to do, but be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world, and to the ends of the earth. They actually experienced that in their lives because they spent several years in Jerusalem, and then persecution got so bad, it chased them to Samaria and Judea, and then persecution got so bad there, it chased them to the end of the earth.
Yeah.
And so they realized this, that times this resistance would grow, but then the gospel would grow too. So Peter, I love reading Peter. He gives me a balance.
He's so blunt.
He is. He goes, God is not slow as some of you think he's slow, but he's patient. Not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so that's God's final exclamation point, is I think throughout eternity, when we say you are good and you are patient, we're going to see the times and years. And I mean, if God waits 100 or 1,000 years before he comes back, or he comes back tomorrow, we'll see history and the stream of history for who else can come to Christ today. And you'll see the open arms of God being the thing that stands out in human history.
Yeah, I remember your sermon preaching kind of at the beginning of the year of, we just in 2020, we had a year unlike any other, a year like none other, but yet for God, it's a year like any other.
That's
and
right.
So when you think about the last hour, you know, our call, it's the same as any other year.
That's right.
Same as Jesus' time, same today. We're called to be his witnesses.
That's right.
Okay, now let's talk about Antichrist and Antichrist. Okay, so explain the difference between what was going on there about
yes.
those that were being deceptive and they were antichrist mm-hmm. versus the antichrist to
yes.
come.
Okay, so John uses this term 4 times in 1 John. And guess how many times in the scriptures antichrist, that term is used?
I have a feeling it's less than 10.
It's 4.
Okay.
So okay. Jesus calls him false Christ,
okay.
but he thinks, doesn't call him antichrist.
Okay.
And at no time in prophecy does it called the antichrist.
Okay.
It's called a beast, or it's
yeah,
called a
okay.
figure,
Got it.
But doing it. And so there's this end time figure who is going to rise up, of which predictive prophecy in the Old and New Testament will be full and finally fulfilled, where this figure will be rise up and he will deceive the nations and draw people to himself with the main focus of opposing Christ, being anti-Christ and anti of the people of Christ. This beast with the sign 666 will be the one who deceives the nations and then ultimately battles Christ in the Battle of Armageddon.
And
he will
loses.
Be defeated.
He gets crushed.
Yes, we read the end of the book and we win. Right. So that's the figure, but. In all those little figures of those who do behavior like the Antichrist, deceive people from the truth, lead people astray, yeah. oppose the gospel,
yeah.
that's what John is talking about here. He's not talking about this end time figure as much as he's talking about the present little figures, mini antichrists,
yeah.
who do the same actions as the future antichrist will bring.
So verse 22 in this
yes.
passage, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ,
yes.
this is the antichrist. He
That's
who
right.
denies the Father and the Son.
That's right. And the other one in the fourth usage is in 2 John verse 7. Okay, so that's, and it just says basically the same. Whoever deceives or is led astray is the Antichrist. So,
and we have Antichrist today, right?
Yes, so. And I actually believe we have an Antichrist that Satan is preparing, that
yeah.
if these end times happened, that figure would rise. And so
yeah.
knowing the end times, as Satan does, I'm sure he's preparing someone. We just don't know who that is.
Well, and since Satan does not know the hour that Jesus is coming back.
That's right.
He's always got to be prepared, and he's always trying to, you know, divide the nations and
yes.
Hinder the advancement of the gospel and everything. But yeah, I mean, who knows, maybe Adolf Hitler was his prepared Antichrist. Perhaps. And then maybe, perhaps. Who knows? I mean,
yep.
But yeah, because he doesn't know the hour, he's got to be prepared because it could happen at any time, right. From his perspective.
And our goal is to call out the behavior, but not look for the Antichrist. Yeah. Because that's something that's out of our control. And we would waste time promoting the gospel if we were trying to root out the Antichrist.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so now let's go to the flip side of what we're supposed to pursue.
That's right.
So take us through the big idea and then that concept of abiding, that defense.
So abiding occurs a few times in chapter one, but then in chapter two, it's like an explosion happens and it's just all over the place. Yeah. And John, you can't just read 1 John without reading John. And so when you read John in John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If anyone abides in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Yeah. Abiding is just so key. And that three phrase description of what abiding is. To abide is to believe, to abide is to love, and to abide is to obey. John just goes over and over and over. That's what it means to abide. Because if you don't abide, you're like the branch that is cut away. It withers. It's thrown into the fire. It's just useless. It doesn't produce fruit, and fruit that would last. And so that's what he's really bringing out there is if you don't abide, you have no defense against deception in this world. And I found that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that whole abiding, believing in the Word of God by the Spirit of God with the people of God. That's the defense against deception and walking away.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that you're just like, I don't know if this is true or not. And the only way to be able to have that and that lens and that filter that we should be looking at life through is that abiding.
Yeah.
Of, okay, what is it I need to be believing? What
That's
do I
right.
need to be loving? You know, what do I need to be obeying? And how is that influencing my life?
Yeah. So let me just share one more thing.
Absolutely.
Think about all the fake news that's out there, all the conspiracy theories that are out there, all the different beliefs that there is, whether it's COVID or whether it's politics or whether it's what's the role of the church, all those kinds of things. And we have built up our belief system that may or may not be founded on the Word of God. And we're seeing people believe tremendous lies that are taking them away from the church and huddling into other people who might believe in them with them. And they're not necessarily biblical. And so as leaders, one of the things that we have done through this time when we knew there'd be massive disruption and lots of deception in the world is we just started to preach the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So you may recall Romans 12 through Romans 15. This is the Word of God. This is what this means. Then we move to First John, okay? And this is the Word of God. This is the truth about Jesus. This is what we're called to do, walk in the light, abide in Christ, not buy all these lies that are out there. And we had no idea exactly everything that was going to be happening this year, but I just would put the exclamation point, abiding is where it must be, not just for you and me as individual or you as listening here or watching, but everyone here at Fellowship, we must abide in Christ during this very disruptive time.
Yeah, and listening to the Holy Spirit, because often we're given two maybe bad options or maybe sometimes two good options, and it takes the role of the Holy Spirit and abiding in Him to give us that clarity and direction.
That's right.
And then there is also grace, too, in the sense of there are some things that are not those essential gospel issues that brothers in Christ can disagree on, and we can still love one another. And that takes the role of the Holy Spirit as well.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so now let's talk about application. So as we think about applying this, we think about believing the Word of God by the Spirit of God with the people of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, as group leaders are in leading and facilitating the groups, what's maybe a question you would want them to pose and discuss in their group to help them think through how to apply this passage?
Yeah, so you can be around content a lot, and this has just a ton of content to work through on here. I think one of the good ways to deepen your relationships together is to ask a question like this. Do you remember a time when you were deceived? And to share kind of the story of being deceived. I did this with a group of guys on Tuesday because I shared with them what I was going to be preaching about. And it was interesting. One of them said, hey, I had a group of people who had a different understanding of the Holy Spirit in my life and said, I must do this. And if I don't do that, I'm not really Spirit-led. And I believed it and I tried to do it and it just wasn't, it didn't lead me closer to Christ. It gave me more guilt and shame. And I was deceived by that. And it was good to come back into the scriptures and study about the role of the Holy Spirit. Other people can go, I was deceived to think that I could live on more than my income and still and be happier. And what it really turned into was debt. But just getting people, when you start sharing areas of weakness in your life versus just what you believe, and you share what God has taught you on confronting deception, you deepen relationships, and that deepens trust then so that you can continue to move into more truth and more content together about the Word of God.
That's good. And, you know, the beauty of community is as you're able to be vulnerable and share those times that you've been deceived or maybe something that you're wrestling with now, that's where that community comes in and can say, I've been there too.
Yes.
But as I've abided in Christ, here's how I worked through that. Or here's the defense that I've put into the lies of fears or inadequacy or whatever that lie that Satan's putting in you.
Yeah.
I think that's great. If groups are able to be vulnerable and share that, then they can be rallied around by their brothers and sisters and encouraged and
that's
built up in that.
That's right. That's so key that you build a group that's open to vulnerability. And not just saying, this is what I do and this is what I do that's good and best. And if you're not careful, sounding you're better. Yeah. We need to have a brokenness about us when we share. And deception is one of those areas. We've all been deceived in one area or not. I can think about three or four areas I've been deceived in my life that I'm so thankful I'm back in the truth and back in the light of the truth.
Yeah. Okay, so group leaders, the final encouragement or just thing I just put in you to is think about is this. So there is a lot of potential content that could be here. You know, maybe Antichrist and maybe some of the discussions we have might seem overwhelming or like, man, I don't have answers. Okay, so I asked Joe a question that he didn't have the full answer to about, you know, how can Jesus be God but not fully know the time? And then Joe asked me, how many times is Antichrist in the Bible? And I didn't have the exact right answer. Listen, we're all working through this.
Absolutely.
So don't allow that fear and maybe the I don't have all the answers hinder you from getting to some of the core things that are talking about here, about deception, how we can build that defense by abiding in Christ. So I think if you can have some good, open, vulnerable discussions on that, it'll be a huge blessing to you and your groups.
I'd love to pray.
That'd
can we
great.
Pray together? Father, we thank you so much for this, your word. And we thank you that your word, empowered by your Spirit, with the people of God is our defense against deception. Thank you for putting your word, which is truth, your Spirit, which is your Spirit of love and joy and peace, all the joy that we have with the fruit of your Spirit in our lives and for the people you've placed in our lives. Thank you for each one of these leaders, their willingness to lead, empower them, encourage them, strengthen them. May they just reflect what we're talking about here. And may you guide us. You know, there's so many people who are being led astray into deception. So, Lord, help us to lovingly call them back and call them back through the grace and truth of the gospel, the truth about who Christ is. We lift them up to you for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Few things coming ahead. First of all, we've got one community group so far that's got four people sign up for the blood drive on March 8th, which is Monday.
Whoa.
And I know. So they're going to get
great.
The pizza party so far, but it's not too late to sign up. You can still go to fbctopeka.com/events, register. Maybe you got a day off on March 8th during spring break. Take advantage of that. The other thing I'd share is this, and this is something new. So this is for the women's ministry. And we have the technical ability to add a third person to this table. So I was going to try to get Shelly here, but because of social distancing, we couldn't do it. So I'm going to do my best to promote a women's ministry event. So on March 25th, we have Spring of Hope. And so it's going to be a one-night event in the evening where women can gather together in homes. If you have a group of people, maybe it's within your community group or a small group or a table group within a women's Bible study, that you can do that. Or you can sign up individually and do that. Wonderful speaker is coming in. If you sign it by March 11th, then you actually get some kits for your homes that you can have and use. And so it will be virtual. We're I'm telling you, Women's Ministry is pushing for in-person stuff this summer, but we're going to do a March 25th. This event's going to be virtual. Wonderful event for women. I know they had a similar one this last fall, and like 500-some women attend, and they absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. And so I love their theme of Spring of Hope, and I hope that you're excited about that and sign up. So you can go to fbctopeka.com/events and register to be a part of that.
Yeah, and if I could say one thing on
absolutely.
That. A lot of times you can get just you and a few of your friends to come to something that you and not a whole lot of people want to come to in person. And as things start to open up, as the COVID numbers drop, this is a great bridge time to open up your home, invite a few people over, and connect with us online.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Well, with that, thank you, community groups, for joining us for the Deeper Podcast. I hope this has helped you to lead your group confidently. Have a great week. We're praying for you as your shepherd, your groups. God bless.
Bye.